A very good morning to you, and welcome to Eagle FM. And let's thank Tate Naluvanda for coming a bit early this morning. He's the one who actually, you know, on behalf of Tate Franz, Tate Naluvanda was in today for Kuthamosha. So thank you, Tate Naluvanda. So, all right, welcome. It's a Monday morning. It's a new week. I hope you have a very restful weekend and ready, you know, to take on a new week. And, my name is Mike Oshavedi. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. And you are most welcome. It's a Monday morning, and the World Cup is over. Spain is a world champion, and So Spain is the world champion. So, well, deservedly so. I think they started slow throughout the tournament. They started slow. But they went up a gear a little bit. You know, when the last three games, like from the quarterfinals and, you know, semifinals and the finals, they really show that they are the world champion. They show the quality of a world champion, I think. So, yeah, Argentina, I didn't come to the party, really. So, FIFA World Champion is Spain, and congratulations to them. All right, so our time is 7 minutes past the hour of eight, and my name is Michael Chiavelli, and you are... This is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economic and political news and headlines. And every weekday we come through, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories and trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and a little witty sometimes and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining me, eight minutes past the hour of eight, it's our time, and we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So I will be with you until the hour of 11 o'clock. And so make sure that you unpack what is coming up in the program with me. All right. So as usual, we start with, we go back into history. On this day in Africa, we go back and look what happened on this day in Africa. So good morning and welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today we're looking back at the moment that shaped our continent on the 20th of July. So some painful, some proud, and well, all are part of our history. So now let's start with the story of resistance. On July 20th, 1905, member of the Matubi people in Germany, East Africa, what we now call Tanzania, decided they would have enough. They decided that we had enough. And they attacked German colonial officials and banned cotton plantation near Samanga. Now, and this wasn't just one of group fighting alone. More than 20 different ethnic groups joined together to push back against German rule. Now, at the heart of the rebellion, at the heart of the rebellion, was a spiritual leader named Kinjikitile. Yeah? Kinjikitile Ngwale. Now, he told his followers that sacred water, Maji, because this is called Majibaji Rebellion, you know. So, Maji, now that's a secret water, Maji, would actually protect them from German bullets. And that was give the people hope. And thousands rose up, actually, because they believed that Maji would actually protect them. So, but the German response was really, really, really brutal. And they launched a scorched earth campaign, burning crops, destroying villages, and starving the land. And the cost was devastating. The cost was devastating. Historian estimate that between 250,000 and 300,000 African died. So, and many of those deaths came from famine, not from fighting. So it's one of the darkest chapter of colonial history, but it also reminds us of the strength of those who refused to surrender. Moving forward to July 20th, 1969, the Organization of African Unity adopted a landmark agreement, the AOU Convention, governing the specific aspect of refugee problem in Africa. So this wasn't just a paperwork. It was a serious commitment to protecting displaced people on our continent. And it remains a foundation human rights. It remained a foundation human rights law for Africa still today. And now in 1970, the war for Guinea-Bissau's independence was raging on. And on this day, Portuguese colonial authority tried to kill Luiz Cabral. Now, he survived the attempt, and he would go on to become the first president of an independent Guinea-Bissau. So, another reminder that our freedom came at a heavy price. So, and let's end on a higher a little bit. Let's end on a higher note. On July the 20th, 2010, South Africa wrapped up the group stages of the FIFA World Cup. And it was the first time in history that the world's biggest football tournament was held on African soil. So the entire continent stood proud in 2010 with South Africa. So that's on this day in Africa. Well, please do join us again tomorrow on this segment. So good morning and welcome. Good morning and welcome. Our time is about 13 minutes past the hour of 8. And you're welcome. You're welcome. It's a Monday morning. It's a beautiful Monday morning. It's getting warm already at this part of the world. It's getting warm already, this part of the world. Slowly by slowly, we can still summer. I mean, winter was a little bit short this time, really. I didn't feel it. I didn't really feel it at all. So it was really, really short. So I think the climate change is becoming real. It's really becoming real. So what is our thought for the day today? Let's look at what is our thought for the day. So there's an old African proverb that says, the chameleon looks in all directions before moving. It's an African proverb that says, the chameleon looks in all directions before moving. Now, it's a simple picture, but it carries a powerful lesson. The chameleon, it doesn't rush. It pauses, observes, and only then takes its next step. Now, the proverb reminds us that wisdom begins with careful observation and thoughtful decision-making. Now, think about our own lives. You know, often we do the often. How often do we react before we have all the facts? For example, you know, we see a headline and we share it. We hear a rumor and we believe it. We make a decision when we are when, for example, angry, excited, or under pressure. Then later we wish we hadn't taken a moment to think, you know. So the chameleon teaches that slowing down is not weaknesses. Sometimes the strongest move is not faster one. It's not the faster one. It is the wisest one. So before changing jobs, for example, or making a big purchase in your life, or voting, or posting on social media, whatever you do, or judging someone, or take a moment to look in every direction. Take a moment to look in every direction. Like a chameleon. Ask questions. Listen. Consider the consequences. So, as we begin this new day and this new week, remember this. Not every opportunity should be grabbed immediately. And not every problem demand an instant reaction. Sometimes success belongs to those who pause, observe, and then move with a purpose. That's our thought for the day. And very good morning if you're joining us. So welcome. So 16 is the minutes past in the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. And I am Mike, your host. So I'm Mike behind the mic this morning. All right. So what do we have this morning? What are we looking forward to this morning? Now, every year, this is a very interesting story that we're following, that we should unpack this morning. Every year, and this is coming from the Simonis storm. So every year, about 11,000 new shacks are built in Namibia. About 11,000 new shacks are built in Namibia. And this is a clear sign that the country's housing shortage is getting worse. So more people are moving to towns and cities, looking for work and better opportunities. But many cannot afford to buy or rent formal houses because prices are too high. So as a result, more families are forced to live in informal settlements. So those are stories. That's a story that we're looking at. And the report that we're looking at and see, and really go into it and unpack that. So unpack that with me. So the other story that we were looking at, there was the outgoing Anti-Corruption Commission, Director General, Paulo Noah, had, an interview on the agenda with the network TV, and he said Namibia should criminalize the refusal to act on Anti-Corruption Commission findings. And he was calling for a legal amendment to make it punishable for the accounting officers or senior officials who ignore or fail to act on the commission's recommendations. So we're going to look at that and analyze that as well and unpack that as well. So it's also coming up your way this morning. And today is Monday, the Villager, the Monday edition of The Villager is out. And we have a number of headline stories in The Villager. One of the stories that we would like to look at is the frustrated residents of Rundu are demanding urgent intervention from the local town council. to address a mounting crisis of failing sewage infrastructure, deteriorating roads, and hazardous environmental conditions. So we're going to look at what are the residents are complaining about. This is a pattern that we see in many of our towns. So we're going to look into that as well. So as you can see, it's fully packed, and your participation definitely will also be part of the show. So you most welcome to unpack this with me, as we usually do. So you're most welcome. So good morning and welcome. So we will be back in a second.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah, that's right. That's your number one talk radio station. And make sure that you remain, stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, wherever you are. You can listen to Eagle FM either through our website. As I said, don't be despair. Maybe you are in a car and you want to get into your office and you think, can I stay still longer? No, don't be late. You can get into your office and still actually continue to listen to Eagle FM through your Eagle, through our website. So we still actually broadcast live on our website. And also, the only thing that you can do, have an Eagle FM mobile app. So download that. You can download from Google Play or Play Store, and definitely wherever you find yourself, you will be connected to Eagle FM. So you might be in the area where there is no the frequency. It does happen sometime when you travel or just. You know, technical stuffs as we experience sometimes. Just make sure that you have your Eagle FM mobile app. So download it right now. Download it right now. So, all right. So, welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day, and right here on Eagle FM. And I'm Big Mike. The man behind the mic. So, and your host for the show. Now, this morning, we're looking at the headline about 11,000 new shacks every year. 11,000 new shacks every year. So that is how many, that's how many new shacks go up across Namibia every single year. 11,000. Not houses, shacks. These are not houses, these are shacks. So, shacks, zinc, plastic, corrugated iron, okay, wooden frames, whatever people can find, 11,000 every year. But you know, the contrast is that we should be, how many houses that we should be building instead, but instead, you know, that's what happened every year. Now, that figures comes from the latest report by Simonis Storm. These are the economists who track our economy, and it was also carried out in by several publications as well. So now, you might have seen the headline and scroll past without really paying attention, you know. So you see these headlines and you just scroll by it. But this morning, what we want to do, I want us to stop, okay? I want us to stop. I want us to unpack this thing, you know, properly. Because behind that number, behind that 11,000 shacks every year, there's a story about you. There is a story about you. There is a story about, you know, me. There's a story about the future of this country. So, and we got to unpack that. Now, so here is the first thing, I think, to understand. The first thing to understand is that every year we see news about building plans going up. Cranes in Windhoek, new development at the coast. You know, if you look at the June numbers as well, actually the June numbers look quite good. Eh? It looked quite good. 197 building plans approved in Windhoek alone. 197 building plans approved. It was a headline, you know, even not long time ago. Approved in Windhoek alone. Up almost 43 from May. When you compare with that May, it's almost 43% from May. So, yeah, that's looked quite good. That's looked quite good. So the value, and the value of those plans jumped to nearly 198 million. Yeah? So 198 million. Yet to date, we are at 1,001 approved project. You see? 1,001 approved project, up 7.3% from the same time last year, if you compare that with last year. So, and if we look at Swakopmund is really outperforming expectations, you know, as I said. So it looks quite good. Now, you may have some people in government or in business. Government or business might hear that that figure and say and think, aha, people are building, which is true. People are building, well, they're building shacks. So people are building, the construction sector is moving, so the construction sector is recovering, the economy is moving, you know. But here's the catch. I think here is the catch. Behind every one of those shiny new plans, behind every, you know, how much of that an average house is, 1.44 million, average house price, there are thousands of families who will never, ever qualify for a bond. Do you get that? So behind all this, there will be, there are thousands of families who will never, ever, you know, qualify for a bond. Now, families earning less than 15,000 a month, families watching from the outside, as the former suburbs get bigger, and shinier, how do you say it's more shinier, okay? So what do they do? So what do they do? That's where this is coming in. They build shacks, okay? They build shacks. They build shacks. So, now, okay, let me give you the real numbers. This is why I love numbers, okay? Let me give you the real numbers because this is where the situation actually gets real. And we're going to do that after this commercial quickly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next...
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So, all right, so you know one thing that I always tell you on the show is that there are two things that my two principles. One is numbers, okay? Numbers don't lie. The second one is follow the money. And so you never go wrong when you do those things. Follow the money, and numbers don't definitely lie. So let me give you the real numbers. As I said, because this is where now the situation gets real. You know, back in 2007, so let's give you a little bit of a background so that we understand where we are. And and how we probably fall short of where we should be. You know, back in 2007, almost 20 years ago, if you count on accounting, so almost 20 years ago, Namibia housing backlog was estimated at 80,000 unit. 80,000 unit in 2007. And that was already called a crisis. Okay? So by 2007, that was already a crisis. 80,000 unit backlog, housing backlog. So today, Smonis Storm says that number has increased, or what is the word that is used? Ballooned. You know, has ballooned to 300,000 homes. Eh? To 300,000 homes. Now, what would have been the trajectory? What would have been the trajectory? It means that from 80 units, that if we were, that should have actually become lesser and lesser and lesser, isn't it? Because we will be addressing that problem. Because it was already a crisis by 2007. So, but what happened? It has ballooned. According to now, this is something that we have known. Everybody knows that. So, and according to the numbers, according to Simone Stomes, say that number has actually increased, has ballooned to 300,000 homes. 300,000. Nearly four times worse. So, if you compare from 80,000 unit in 2007 to now 300,000, it's almost four times worse. So, we have had mass housing programs. We have had national housing enterprises projects. We have had promises from every political party. Now, we're talking every political party. Not just the ruling party, from every political party when they're campaigning, every election cycles, every state of national address, and still the gap has grown from 80,000 to 300,000 units. I just want you to you know, to get the picture. Now, the economist at Simone's Storm put it plainly in their latest report. They said the gap is not closing. It's widening. So it's not closing. It's actually becoming a bigger and bigger problem. And that, my friends, is the single most important sentence in this whole report. So I think that's the single most important sentence in that report, that the gap is not closing. It's widening. It's widening. And what does that say? Or maybe the question that we should be asking, why is happening? Why this is happening? The short answer is people are moving, okay? That's the short answer. The short answer is that the people are moving. People are leaving the villages. They are leaving the farms. They are leaving the smaller towns. And they are heading to Windhoek. They are heading to Swakopmund. You know, they are heading to, you know, to bigger centers. Looking for what? Looking for jobs, looking for schools, maybe, you know, because in those, they're looking for better schools, looking for better health services, you know, looking for what we all call, maybe what we call green pastures. And they think that they get it in these bigger towns. So they're heading to Windhoek, they're heading to Swakopmund, they're heading to bigger centers. Now, if you look at the Namibian urbanization rate, it has now hit about 50%. 50%. That means half of us live in towns now. 50%. Half of us are living in town. In towns. Eh? And Windhoek population is growing by 3.1 every year. 3.1% every year. That's a population, overall population, you know, of Windhoek. 3.1 every year. But here's the scary part. Now, here's the scary part. The scary part is that the informal settlement in the capital, in Windhoek, are growing. The informal settlements in the capital are growing at 6.1% per year. Remember, the Windhoek population is growing at by 3.1% every year, and the informal settlement in Windhoek, in the capital, it's growing at 6.1% every year. Almost double the city's overall growth. Do you see the picture? Yeah? So the informal settlement, it's double the city overall growth. That means shacks are spreading faster than former city itself. Yeah, that's what it means. The shacks are spreading faster than the former city itself. So, Windhoek alone has 150 informal settlement. 150 informal settlement. 150. Out of 419 nationally. So, and out of, in 419, you know, in settlement, more than 213,000 people lives in them. Yeah? 67,000 houses. 67,000 houses, households, you know, and that is not a small problem. When you look at that, that is not a small problem. Hmm? In actual effect, when you look at that, that's a city within a city, a parallel Windhoek. Yeah? It's honestly a city within a city. Now, this is parallel because now this city is without proper toilets. This city is without proper water. This city is without proper roads. Eh? It's without proper dignity, if you like. Eh? It's a city within a city. And it's getting worse. It is honestly getting worse. So the economists are warning us that the new oil, now, this is now the problem. They say that the new oil and gas, the new oil, gas, and green hydrogen industries, you know, the things we are now excited about. So, or the project, or, you know, the new sector that we are excited about, are going to pull even more people to the towns and the coast. Okay? Because of these new industries that are coming up, so more people now are coming to these towns, are coming to Windhoek, are coming to the coast, you know, maybe are coming to Lidritz. Yeah, so Lidritz is going to grow, Wabishbay is going to grow, Arandas, Swakopmund, Usakos, all those places along the corridor, they are going to feel the pressure. People will be coming to that. So Now, here's my question. Now, if we cannot house our people now, so think of this now. So if we cannot house our people now with the population we have today, what is going to happen when the oil money start flowing? Now, when the oil money now start flowing, when hydrogen factories open, what is going to happen? So we are going to see 15,000 new shacks a year. Remember that every year we have about 11,000, you know, new shacks every year across the country. Now, are we going to see now 15,000 shacks a year? Are we going to see 20,000 a year? And are we planning for that? This is the big question. Are we planning for that, or are we going to wait until the crisis actually become catastrophic? So we have another story. You remember the story of Rundu that we have in today's is exactly epitome, if you like, of the issues that we're talking about, where now the town is under pressure because of the people that come to town, because of people that are flocking to town, and your infrastructure cannot hold. That's a story we have today in the Rundu story that I mentioned at the beginning that we're going to look into. It's exactly, you know, that some of these towns were not built to accommodate the number of people that we have today. And the town councils are not, the municipalities and town councils are not doing anything to improve the infrastructure. So what happened? The shacks continues. The shacks continues to the point where we won't be able to do anything anymore. So it was in thousands, it was in millions. If you look at Windhoek, for example, the money they would need, you know, to provide housing to everybody, it's in billions. It's in billions. So, and when you hear billions, forget about it. When you hear billions, then whatever problem that you're talking about, that's a way to say, look, we're not going to do anything. It's because they tell you already, hey, this is the amount of money we need. Okay. Now, let's also look at on the other side as well. So let's also look at the other side. The government is not sitting on its hands. Okay. It's not that the government is just, it's not doing anything. So in 2025, 2026 budget, the National Housing Enterprise has got an extra 1.5 billion. And that was to build now, that money was to build low cost houses and upgrade informal settlement. Well, that's what the minister actually specified, that this 1.5 billion is to build the low cost houses and upgrade informal settlements. So, and there is a target. There is a target to build 50,000 houses by 2030. 50,000 houses by 2030. So now, by, you know, that's the target. And if you look at that target, that means that's about 10,000 houses a year. So do we pay attention to this kind of things? Or we are told about it and we really don't pay attention to it, unless you come to Unpacking the Day. That means 10,000 houses a year. So we have seen mass housing project completed in Achomwise. I think that the credit must be due, where must be credit must, how do you say, credit where it's due. What is the word? Yeah, credit where it's due. That's what said. Yeah, we have seen, there has been report of mass housing project completed in Achomwise, in Opuo, in Swakopmund, in Grootfontein, if I remember, if I'm not mistaken, in Gobabis, there has been area where the mass housing projects have been completed. Okay, so now there's a national informal, you know, settlement upgrading project that wants to deliver around 2,000 affordable homes. You know, as I said, credit where credit is due. So these are real numbers. These are real numbers, real money, real project on the ground. I think that should be accredited as well. And we should acknowledge that. As I said, we should acknowledge that. So, but let me ask you something, okay? Now, if we need 15,000 new houses every year, just in Windhoek, 15,000 new houses every year in Windhoek. And this is just in Windhoek. And remember, 10,000 is for it's nationally. Just think, in Windhoek we need about 15,000 new houses every year now to actually meet the backlog in Windhoek. The target nationally is 10,000 every year. So if 15 new houses every year just in Windhoek, and that's what the city of Windhoek itself says, this is not me saying, and then 10,000 houses a year for the whole country, that's not going to close the gap. That's not going to close the gap. It's not even going to keep pace with the new shack going up. When you look at the pace of shacks going up, that is not even going to keep pace with that. The city of Windhoek says it needs about 1 billion every year. 1 billion every year just to keep up with the demand. 1 billion. And I said, when you hear billion, so stop thinking. When you hear billion, just stop thinking. Wherever you are, stop thinking. But look, in the first 6 months of 2026, six whole months, the total value of all of building plan approved in Windhoek was 791.8 million. Okay? Follow the numbers. If you look at that, the plan approved in Windhoek was for six whole months, 791.8, less than a billion. For half of the year, and most of that money is going to hire. So when this money now, we talk about 791.8 million, that money is going to higher income development. Not the affordable segment that we're talking about, the shacks, where the shacks are. It's going to the higher income, you know, income development. So you see the math? It does not add up. It doesn't add up. The arithmetic of this crisis is broken. Absolutely broken. It does in six. We're talking about now. It's just in 6 months. In a year, we need a billion, but in 6 months, it's 791.8 million. Just in 6 months, it doesn't add up, man. It doesn't add up. So, and if you're talking about the shacks and things like that, absolutely forgotten. Now, when we're talking about now, who is this former market actually serving? When now we're looking at, because this is, it's normally what is being addressed in the former market, isn't it? Who is the former market actually? Now here is where I want us to, I think, to go a little bit deeper. And let's talk about who the former housing market is actually serving. Who are they serving? Now, according to the latest figures, nearly 70% of Namibians cannot afford formal housing. Are you following? 70% of Namibians cannot afford formal housing at the current market prices. At the current market prices, nearly 70% of that, 70% cannot afford a formal housing. So the national weighted average house, the average house price in the first quarter of 2026 was actually 1.44 million. 1.44 million. And if you earn, now that means that if you earn about 15,000 a month, and that is already a decent salary for many, for many Namibians, a 15,000 a month, you cannot afford a 1.44 million a house. You cannot afford it. So, now, the bond installment alone would eat your whole, it will eat your whole salary before you even buy bread. And then the bank are tight with mortgage credit. They are really tight. So interest rates are climbing, affordability is going down. It's not going up. The affordability is not going up. It's going down. So in this case, what would the developer do? What would the developer do? They go where the money is. That's why I always tell you, follow the money. They go where the money is. They build houses for the upper income market. Houses above 1 million. Houses in Klein Coupe, in Olympia, in Eros, in Ludwigsdorf. Yeah? That's where they build. They don't build houses below 500,000. They don't build houses below that because the profit margin are too thin. If you build a house of 500,000, the profit margin is too thin. So, the segment with the greatest demand, as we know, so the segment with the greatest demand, affordable housing, is barely visible in the monthly building statistics. You won't see that. You won't see that. So, and let me say this again. Let me say that again. So, because it is very important here. Now, the houses that are most needed, the affordable ones, okay? I'm going to say that in simple. The houses that are most needed, the affordable ones, are the ones being built the least, okay? These are not the houses that are being built. And that is not a market failure. That's in a normal sense, that's not a market failure. That's a market that works perfectly for the people who have money. That's how it works. The market works perfectly with the people with money and completely ignores the people who do not. And that, my dear listener, is the heart of this report. That's the heart of this report. That's basically the heart of this report. The market works for the people who have money. As simple as that. And those who don't, and it ignores the people who don't. That's how it works. Okay? Yeah. So now, the Simon Stone, the economist who wrote this report, they do not just complain. It's not a complaint, it's a review. They give us a solution as well. They give us some kind of reform, structural reform that is needed. They give us five structural reforms that is needed. Let me walk you through. Let me walk you through them and in a very, very, very simple way, okay? So these are five structural reforms that is needed now, to make housing accessible, making a housing accessible. Number one, we need to speed up land servicing. I think that's something that has been said It's one thing that I have identified as a as an obstacle in terms of housing. But it said years after years, and there just seemed nothing to be done about this. I don't know whether I spoke English now. So we need to speed up. They're saying that we need to speed up land servicing. That means getting water, sewage, electricity, and road to plot faster, so that people can actually build on them. Sometimes just, service the land and let the people build by themselves. Yeah? Right now, it takes years to get service plot. It takes years. And you know about that. You listening, you know how long you have been waiting. Even how long you have waited in your own towns to get actually, many places serviced. So there are certain towns that are doing better. There's Oshakati has done better, seriously. Maybe we have to acknowledge where things have done. They have done better compared to other towns. I was in Rundul recently. And there is, as much as there are other issues, there are also, some progress. Rundul becomes, I haven't been there for a while, but when I was there now, it's really infrastructure-wise in terms of housing. You can see they are moving. There are places, they have built quite a lot of places. There are places that have been serviced. A land that has been serviced and houses have been built. Okay? Okay, let's go to the caller quickly.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Good morning, how are you?
Good morning.
Yes. You are talking about housing that is more expensive now.
Just hold. You're a little bit low. Let me just quickly do something on this side. Okay, yeah. Then speak again.
Yeah,
I can hear you now. Okay.
Yeah, Mike, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I would say the reason why we find these houses being expensive and the market is mostly targeting those with deeper pockets.
The market is mostly? Just say that again. The market is mostly?
The market is mostly targeting those with deeper pockets.
Yeah, exactly.
The reason behind it is because we are not the ones, we don't have, we are not the one controlling the prices of these houses.
Mm.
It is controlled by the banks.
Yeah.
So we can't do anything there. So the only best way I was thinking is allocating land, you service the land,
yeah.
You give the plots. You know, it's going to be more cheaper when people are building for themselves. I've seen this in Katima here, whereby we have some portions of land that was given to people and they built for themselves.
Yeah.
These locations, they look very neat, smart, and they built very big structures there, which are mostly cheaper.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the services on this land. You know, when you are paying for water is also gone up, electricity is also gone up. So some of these issues will bring us down to the point that we can't afford these houses, because you are buying a 1.4 million house, and the water is also expensive. The service, in general, to say, paying bills. Is more expensive in our republic.
Yeah.
So if this was at least managed very well, so that water could be very cheap, electricity could be very cheap.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure a lot could afford to pay these expensive houses.
Yeah. But do you think, just think about it. When you look at this, do you think that sometimes there are institutions that actually control the market, like the bank, as you said? And they also then control the policy making. Because think of this: if you have a service land, and you say someone get that plot, and start to build themselves. I can tell you, within 5 years, they would actually build a house to the level of whatever is required in that particular town. So, but they will have actually developers who will actually build a house for you, and you have to pay that for 20 years.
But if you get a plot,
I can tell you within 5 years, you would be able to actually build a house.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah. And you don't owe anybody. It's your house that you have built yourself completely.
It's very cheap. It's very cheap that way.
Yeah.
But the problem is, the thing is, the banks also. You know, when you are building a house, you'll need to reach out to the bank to get some money from there. And the same money that you are going to get from the bank, whether it's a loan or what,
is
also going to haunt you.
It's going to haunt you, definitely.
Now,
and sometimes you may even pass on without actually finishing paying that loan.
That's the thing. So we need an institution that is going to work on the pricing of houses and to manage all this.
Yeah. And it has been 20, as I said, we started in 2007, and by 2007, 80,000 units as a backlog has been, it was already a crisis. And now we're talking about 300,000. We haven't done anything at all to address this issue. And I sometimes, you just said, there is something, there aren't really a political will, you know, to actually address this issue.
I'm sure, Mike, from my side, I'll say there is. Politically, these people are ready to solve. But there might be a master somewhere who's controlling them.
Yeah.
Because if I'm deciding this is right for me, and my master is saying we should top up something to also make me happy, you see, that is going to fly the price of the houses, because the master is also in need of his benefit.
Yeah, but if say for example, you have a councillor, regional councillor, or constituent councillors, or mayors, do they have any influence on issues like these when they know this is a problem in our society? And that's where you can overall look at the overall, is there political will? It's, you know, so do they have influence at all when this is a crisis in your community?
I doubt on that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hello, Mike. Thanks. It's a good topic you're having. And congrats to Spain for winning the World Cup.
No, thanks for coming through, man. Thanks for your contribution. Eh?
Thank you very much.
All right. Yes, you're most welcome to come through as well. 0833-66091. And issues of housing, it will never end. This is it's a topic that definitely will never stop discussing, because this most majority of us, you know, have no housing, you know, have no places that we call our own homes. So yeah. So the five structural reforms that the economist, the Simonis Storm has, the solutions that they actually, you know, suggested. One of them, I said, is that there's a need. We need to speed up land servicing. All right? We need to speed up land servicing. That's mean getting water, sewage, electricity, and road, you know, to plot faster. Because that is taking too long. So that now people can actually build on them themselves. And the callers also mentioned the same thing. So, yeah, so because right now it takes years to get service plot in all the towns, you know. Years, my friend. That's a red tape. That is bureaucracy. Eh? And that is municipal inefficiency. One can say that it's municipal inefficiency. It's also costing us dearly. So, but we can also look at that other issues that we can say that. But we're also looking at that, well, maybe municipality don't get enough money to be able to do this.
we can go into those issues as well. You know, their budgets are so thin that they will not be able to do this. Hmm? So there are issues, you know. Number two, what they have suggested also is that we need to expand the Build Together program and rent to buy schemes, you know. So there was another company that actually came up with how many seven, you know, approaches that we can with the GIZ. I forget the company, so but they were in partnership with GIZ, and there were really, really, really approaches that are doable. And sometimes I don't know where do this end up. Like now, some of these suggestions, where do they end up? Eh? Nobody listened to it, or is it say, I don't know why. When you listen to some of these approaches, or as we're looking at some of the reform that now they are suggesting here, the structural reforms, I don't know who listens. Eh? So now we're talking about now expanding. The number two is that to expand the Building Together programs and rent to buy schemes. So like a rent to buy schemes, maybe owners would feel they are losing. Yeah. Or not even loaners, but it's that, you know, it's the same thing. I think it's more like, you know, the person who rent, that rent becomes like an installment. Yeah. These are programs that help now low-income families to get into houses without needing a massive deposit, yeah, or a perfect credit record to get a loan from the bank, for example. They work. Yeah? They do work. But they are too small. They are not expanded. They are too small, and they need to be scaled up massively. Yeah? So we seem to talk about, and that's why I'm talking about political will. We seem to talk about, you know, this and that, but we don't really put up structural reform that accelerate what we want to achieve. Hmm? So we're talking about it. Can't we have laws that really, transformative laws, eh? Transformative laws. Laws that are bite, that have teeth. Not just nice laws that are put on the shelf. That really transformative. That's what we need. And number three, and this is a big one, unlock pension fund money. Unlock pension fund money. Our pension funds, the GIPF and others, you know, they sit on billions of Namibian dollars. They sit on billions. We're talking billions of Namibian dollars. Right now, most of that money goes into government bonds and listed shares. They go into government bonds because they feel that's much safer for them. But it could go into social housing bonds. Yeah? It could go into social housing bonds. That means pension money could be used to build rental housing for ordinary Namibians. And the pensioners still get their returns. You still get your returns. Win-win. That's a win-win. Huh? A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, it has been a weekend. I was in Rundu, actually. It's a very nice town, becoming bigger and bigger.
Yes, Rundu is growing.
It's growing. People are moving up there. And exactly what we're talking about, when you're looking at this upper part that they're building, which is not affordable to the people, and then the people are building on the other side as well. And the other side is growing much bigger. The informal settlement is growing faster, you know, compared to the former one. Eh?
Yeah. And this is what's happening to all local authority, the new established, town.
Yeah, no, that's
you
what is happening.
You talk about your Congo, you talk about Enana, you talk about different, just growing everywhere. That's why I'm saying one day we end up without a grazing land for our livestock.
Yeah. Why do we do what is not why do we really build? Of course, there are market for those, for the middle income one, but why do we know the majority can't afford that, but we definitely, you know, we just do, we just don't consider, you know, the low income. We don't seem to find way really to address this issue.
No, mind that the way is there. The way is there, but how can I make it for double it for everybody? Well, I know I will not make money.
Yeah.
It's all about profit. That's why you have a company like NHE. Up to now, they don't have even a bank. They are supposed to have already a bank, develop a bank where they can find those people.
But the other thing is, Nim, Mandume, the other thing is that we have other projects that are working. For example, Build Together program, it works, but the problem is that why can't we expand that? Why can't we want to scale it up?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If we check how it's working when it comes to even the house distribution. I can give an example where our CEO come from, Chuarongo.
Yeah.
This guy was doing something else. You know, Chuarongo, I'm telling you, God, they are more, not it used to be more or less capacity than comparing to us. Because we are talking about it in title deed.
Yeah.
People are giving a title deed, then they build themselves. And you just come up like, you know, this is what I want, a house like this. Not to come up with what your own design, but this is the municipality with the design. You have to build according to this plan.
Yeah.
It works. Then you come to Windhoek. If you want to give a title deed to people, what is your friend of a cousin of minister who's also in property development? What is going to look to say to you? You, the thing is that when you have a position involving property developer, it's already, you can see, it's a conflict of interest. That's why they don't come up with a policy to address the issue.
Mm.
But if you look, the way the land, especially when you're talking about, people are not even asking farm. They're just kind of asking about that for 300 square, which we always give.
It's just a small plot.
Small plot, my friend, is just for somebody to have it be comfortable. At least when you are even living this earth, you know that your kids are secure. I'm telling you, they are not, because they know they want to make more money. The more they are developing the land, I mean, flat people to land, the more money they are making.
Yeah.
And the more expanding to that town, or to even to a place like Honga. Do you think why a person, if I'm just staying to next to the
logic, you're right. The logic is like the more, the less service land you have, the more demand to the houses that are available.
So what I'm telling you that is the demand and supply.
Yeah.
If the supply is very slow,
yeah.
What do you think? The demand will expand. Mm. And for us, it's not even like you expand anymore because, my friend, even the cabas, you say, no, I'm lending, I'm looking for cabas to lend. You might take even a month without getting the cabas to lend. It's not available. You see?
Yeah.
Just imagine a cabas. What about a bachelor's flat? How many people are going to call that day if it was just advertising the one of the media? A lot. That's why people are end up scamming, then scam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the numbers, the number are very clear. We can see that already. Your 70% of Namibians actually cannot afford the average house, which is actually 1.44 million. You know,
I'm telling you, Mike.
So it's quite obvious. You know, if we look at the numbers and statistics, it's 70% of Namibians. Eh?
That's what I'm telling you, Mike. People are putting even the advertisement. I'm looking for a couple, but they must not have a kid. What do you want? Come on, man.
But the thing is, the likelihood of getting someone, if you have 70% of Namibians who cannot afford houses, you know, of course, you drive people to
I mean, you're more likely to get people actually to come. You're not going to have a problem of having someone actually renting your houses.
Yeah. Yeah? Not at all. That is the aim of them, not to come up with a policy to address the issue.
And that was my point. That was my point to the first caller to ask that, is there really political will? You know?
No, Mike, they are not. They know what they are doing.
If there is a political will, do we have structural reform that would actually make a transformative change?
Mike, if you remember, there was a company, I think from South Africa, was building a house less than what? $50,000. What happened to it? You see, even they talk about it, they are quiet now.
Yeah, there was this, the president went there, the Sangwasa went there.
Yeah, what?
And they said, no, they shouldn't be even a tender, you know, they must just given, you know, so that we can scale up this, you know. So now it's gone quiet. That's how we work in Namibia.
Quiet. That's all I'm telling you. Everybody excited, picture taking, so on and what, everybody come there.
There are some fair projects you hear, and then they just disappeared. You don't hear anything anymore. And then 5 years later, again, something come up as if it's your agent.
Next to the election. They build like a 2 or 3 house there. Then you think they done something. Now, maybe to make it the matter worse, even now, municipality of Windhoek, they are proposing that they are going to cut off this illegal election connection.
Yeah.
Let me wonder, when you are doing that, what option you give to the people? That, okay, now I'm cutting off this, who can afford, maybe you can come to my office, then we talk about it, we give you a transform. Maybe you group it together. One of you, I mean, 5 of you or 10 of you, if you are able to buy this transformer, then I will give it to you. Because cutting off the people electricity, what else do you want for the people to do?
Yeah.
People are there because they are doing that because they cannot, they don't have any alternative to do.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the company of solar, I'm using a solar wind, I'm in Windhoek, but I'm telling you, the battery itself, mine it was like after 5 years, the batteries. I'm telling you, I bought that new battery, which is costing almost 4K, one each. And now, my barona, they become like what? I don't know if it's a heat or something.
Yeah.
It's like they want a product, man. And they remember, now when you are even referring people to solar, what else the government can do? We don't even a company with the, we say, because there's Namibian, you know, you remember there used to be a company like what, I don't know if I can remember, a tango, not a tango, something like that, which is dealing with solar. Man, why am I forgetting? But now, it's no more, I don't see them anymore. The one which we are having now, just with this smaller, for the light only.
Yeah.
And they're going to tell you, that's what I'm telling you, I bought just 2 batteries. Then those batteries are getting full, like they want to explode. Yeah. The problem is that some people are having money. If you give them a title deed, the way I'm telling you, Mike, weak people, they can able to do that for themselves.
Definitely,
I'm telling you, and that's the only way to go. Sangwasa, if it's serious to deal with Namibian problem when it comes to housing, give a title deed to people. Because this is funny thing of that, you can ask you to have that land, and later on when you are going to be removed, you can get help. My friend, we don't want somebody to bid for us. Give it to the people, then you say, after 5 years, all 2 years, if you don't build anything here, I will come and take that land to you, that help, and then I will give it to somebody else who is able to do it. I'm telling people, they will be able to come up with an alternative way.
Yeah, there was something similar, you know, Shakati. You are given a land, if you don't build it for some time, they will take it away from you. And people have built. There wasn't any issues, actually. Yeah.
I'm telling you, they will. people, they will be able to build. But if you come there, then you say, no, come on, you are building for us. Then now you are charging people like what? 5,000 monthly.
An average house in Windhoek and Swakop is 1.4, something like that. In the north, it's about 800,000. You know.
My friend Mike, if you come to the location like Havana, then you look at those housing which are built by the municipality. But it's more or less because people are paying less amount, that because I think it's 1.13, if I'm not mistaken. But the house is very small.
Yeah.
Very, very small. But even if they start, it's good to start, but 800,000, that value of that house. Then you look at it's only one room, a kitchen, and a shower, and the toilet.
And that's for formal market. And that's for formal market, not informal.
Yeah, now you are saying even for lower income.
Yeah.
Just imagine a security guard, how much you get?
Yeah.
If you are the target 1,700 a month, how that person be able to put a electric or pay bill of water?
Yeah. Yeah, you can come on the other topic that are coming up. So let's see how many other people coming on this one. Yeah.
Okay, Mike.
Okay, great. Oh, 833-66-091. 833-66-091. Housing crisis. That's something that that never end. Many people actually find themselves in the same boat. You know? Yeah. This is our question of dignity as well. Yeah, so we're looking at the Simonis storm, and these are structural reform that they are suggesting. One was that unlock pension fund, you know, money, unlock pension fund money, our pension fund, the GIPF and others. And because they sit on billions of Namibian dollars. Eh? So, yeah. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good.
Hmm.
Which report are you reading? Is the one for Bank of Namibia?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the one of the Bank of Namibia, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, that one is just entails what is everybody knows.
Yeah.
There is nothing new there.
Yeah. This one is from the Simone, you know, this economist. I think it basically also based on what the Bank of Namibia is, exactly the same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
But they just highlighting what is already. Some people know, but on the look of land delivery in Namibia, it's one of the political bureaucrats.
Yeah.
It's not something that is standing on its own. Because if you look at what the MURD minister is doing, I don't know whether he understands or he's also playing his card for the bureaucracy. Because what is wrong here is not about the local authority.
Yeah.
It's the police. It's the system itself.
Exactly.
The law. Yeah, the law is not okay. And on the look of what I have been now doing is that people ignore the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they are protecting some, but on the look of who are they protect, it doesn't really make any difference here, because there are two, three things that need to be done. Property developers, real estateers, and the constructor.
Yeah.
So the constructor now are including like they are property developers, which is not true. So because if you go to the bank, with your subsidy, so the bank said, okay, appoint the contractors. But now When you are, they're giving you the list of the one that's qualified by the bank.
Yeah.
But you don't have land.
Exactly, yeah.
You see now, you are going to looking for a property developers, which is, he have land, but he doesn't have money.
Yeah.
I'm the one who have money now. And I'm the one who is going to somebody who doesn't have money, doesn't have land. I mean, he have access to land, but he doesn't have money.
Hmm.
Why they have to do that? Instead of just, in Namibia, I full do a research on this because I have 4.5 billion in my hand that needing to be constructed in those about 20 houses in this country.
Yeah.
But it's the only one municipality that are doing good, which is Arandes municipality. Yeah. I don't know whether they, because of that, they are using the money, the mine money or whatever.
Hmm.
But they are the only one in Namibia that are doing good. They don't allow the property developers, the constructors. You can discussing this issue with the constructors after you purchasing the land from the local authority.
Yeah.
Of Arandes, which is right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, which is the law saying that. But most of these local authorities, they are unlawful. You understand?
Yeah.
Because they are proof. The
one question I want to ask is this, how much a politician, let's say, for example, a mayor, a regional councillor, constituent, you know, you see that this is a problem in my constituency. How much do they have actually influence on a structural reform to get your people actually housing? Or this is something, it's a system that is actually functioning on a business level, and no matter what they say, it has no influence from them.
Yes, no matter what they say, it has no influence. Them, they think they have influence.
Yeah.
What they them, they think, because I met with one, I know when I was, he came also from, I cannot mention his area, but he came also to visit and he went to Duke, and then we bumped to each other in the MURD office there.
Yeah.
So he thought he can help his people.
Mm.
But when I told him the truth that, listen, my brother, this is not what you think is right. Because if you look at what Mr. Sangwasa, who everybody's appreciated what he's doing, he's not doing it right.
Yeah.
Because what he have done in Tume blast of last month of stealing allocated land for free to people, that is not what is right.
Yeah.
People want it to please on themselves, or people want to using their subsidy with the bank. Everybody's helping by the bank in this world.
Mm.
No matter the money that you are using by the bank is not money for the bank, but it's the one who is running the economy. Everybody have to go to the bank.
Yeah.
But we have some people here that they are not telling people where the DD office is.
Yeah.
You see now, because the DD office, you know, those people that you are talking about, also they don't know where to get ownership of the land. But the mayors, local authority, and all that. That ownership is not in the MURD.
Yeah.
It is on other ministry, other entity, with different policies. You understand?
Mm.
So if you go to local, to mayor to say, I want you to packaging 200 elves, they were telling you that, no, go to those guys. And when you go to those guys, they say, you know, the available land is already in the hand of the developers. Which they don't have men in hand. They don't have client in hand.
Yeah.
Because they are marking up, they are topping up a lot of money in that land. And you know what, why they are manipulating? Another issue, what is on some of the local authorities. They said, once you're packaging this land from the developers for $400 or $200, you must also putting up something that's equal to that man of the land, the price of the land. How can you dictate that? That is what I'm saying. Even president, he doesn't really understand. Now, president is dancing the song of that, no, the material are very expensive. He said, okay, let us now using these guys in the material.
Yeah.
Still not have access to that.
Just hold on for a few seconds, for a quick one here.
imba yari ile ombwa nai etepawe dako ombunikire ombe ombiho kusha njiviro yoye ilile ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no mafa kumurungi wa indu wali rongere kusha umune ondenguo kuura kwa imba una ovyune vya peke o rondola mirongo vitati no hambu umwe mumwezi o pika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva o peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva o peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente umirongo ivari na dano Pomyeve omurongo na ivari moshimariva itororera ondengu chimai ungura na wakove na wina onyanukife ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro imba o maoronga neno uyeru haka enina itako na wina rishangita jinyon
alright welcome back now the other thing that I quickly want you to touch on is this pension fund money you know the GPI, the GIPF and others. So they sit on billions of Namibian dollars, but much of that money goes into government bonds and listed shares. So why can't they go into social housing bonds?
Yeah, I like the question, but when you look at it, some of these property developers, they have GIPF money. All of them that they are now doing this real estate investment.
Yeah.
So they have the GIPF money. So the issue is like this, because I think last month, Aimungu was also with the MURD minister. It was the same song that they want also to participate on the solving houses crisis.
Yeah.
But they were not having money in hand. your answer is already answered by itself automatically that the person who is running the GIPF, he went into MURD with the same problem, but he doesn't have money in hand.
Yeah.
You see now. So what I saw, that is also our president needing to know, is that those property developers, what they do, they brand fodder the local authority.
Mm.
Because if you look at their villages that they are now starting developing, Mike, their house, Erwin is about 300 or 290 square meters.
Yeah.
And that house they are constructed today for 700,000. It's like a small tiny with the land.
And you don't have enough space to expand it. Yeah.
You see, now, that is what I'm saying. You cannot, Namibia have a huge land in the other countries in the world, with a small population of people that they need to be access to land. But who is playing this thing? Who are the one that's protecting this thing? I saw it in the Ministry of Finance when I was those guys. They are the ones writing a letter to me. But now, when they saw that there is a reality, there is money in the end, they're starting to change, protecting others. Become, you know what they are told me?
Yeah.
Become a property developer like others.
Nah.
And I said, no, my project, if you look at it, it said by itself, it's a financial innovation.
Yeah.
It means it's changing some of the things that is already there to make it easier for everybody to have access and using their money. We have a civil servant that is, they have money in hand in this country. But they cannot afford to construct a house. But if you go in the village of the communal land, you're finding a 3, 4, 5 bedroom house that was constructed with a person who never even touching 200,000 in his pocket.
Exactly, yeah.
So why we have to come up with this? So my message is that it's not the local authority that is wrong. It's not the mayor or whoever. It's not Mr. Sankwasa. If you want to do it right, you must go back to law.
Yeah.
Go back to parliament. Stop protect people that they are using also the GIPF money to making money out of that and denying others.
Mm.
So, those are the problem. You cannot go and constructing a 300 million complex in the informal market. You are telling us a lie. What if we demolishing those bashus and leave it empty or open space, where are you going to get your money?
Yeah. Hmm.
It's because you are protected, right?
Yeah.
So those are the things that I'm saying. Namibia will not go. I was talking with one friend of mine. I think he's also a friend of you because we interviewed him one day. Yeah. He's now in Kenya. He's talking about the same thing. He said, you know, in Kenya we are doing better because we wanted him to construct one company from UK. Now, here we got in the land, we are already starting, and we are going to Tanzania. You see, because here, the person who has a key for you to be go reviewing that law, he will not allow you to do it. He is telling the others that he is lying. But while the law, the policies that we are having, is one, because they follow it wrong. Even in the DD office, they say it is wrong. They are confessors, those ones. They say it is wrong. But other thing that we are also, Botswana did it good, because Botswana is one tribe only. So they're starting now to follow the man in the village.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then to leave those people who have mentioned in the village of Northern Namibia to be starting funded by the bank.
Mm.
Yeah. Because it's money that they are putting on those constructions. So, Mike, let me not finish up people's time. But
All right.
That is
no,
what is, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fine then. Yeah. Thanks for coming, Tria.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Away 333-66091. Away 333-66091. So you may come through. Yeah, but the rules and the structure need to be put in place. They need to be in place, and somebody need to have, as we always said, the political will to push it through. The political will to push it through. That is absolutely needed. And the other fourth suggestion that was made is to integrate actually informal settlement upgrading with bark infrastructure. So what that means is that when you upgrade the shack area, do not just put up a few toilets and call it done, you know. So put it together, plan together with the bigger water pipes, the bigger sewer lines, the electricity grid, you know. Otherwise, you end up with a patched up, you know, settlement that still actually do not have the proper service five years later. You know, that's another suggestion that they say. And the other suggestion is also that to train more artisans, you know, and project managers. Artisan and project managers who do not have enough. So we do not have enough bricklayers, plumbers, electricians, site managers. You know, you can have all the money in the world, but if you do not have the skills and the skills actually to build the houses, the houses do not get built themselves. You know, they don't get built. So simple as that. So, yeah. Now, the other thing maybe that I need to ask, you know, just to activate our thinking, you know, now. Let me push this conversation a little bit, you know, a bit further, because that's what we do here anyway. That's what we do on this show on Unpacking the Day. So let me ask some questions for you to think about as you're coming through as well. Now, we say if 70% of Namibians cannot afford, you know, former housing. Okay, we have 70% of people that cannot afford a formal housing. Then who is exactly is this formal housing market serving? Eh? Who is this formal house market is serving? And is it time? Is it maybe time for the government to step in with a price intervention? Is it something like that? Because I asked a question earlier on the caller, said, is this something operating completely? No. Yeah, the politician have no influence at all. Well, the government can come in, as one of the callers said, you know, go back to the parliament, you know. Is this the time now for the government to step in with a price intervention or subsidies or something like that? Or completely different model? Maybe we need to look at a different model.
maybe the model that we have been using so far isn't working at all. Eh? Is it a term? So some will say maybe no. Maybe some will say no, the market must be free. So the market must be free, but I will say to you, I will say this, you know, it's a market that excludes 70%. You have now a market that is excludes 70% of the population. A real free market, would you say that a free market that's excluding 70%? Or is it just a privileged club? That's more like a privileged club for those who have money. What do you think? What do you think? Eh? Let's think bigger. Eh? Let's think bigger, because this is something that really need to be tackled. Eh? And it has taken years and years. It looks as if there are, you know, people seem to see the problem, but they don't just want to do anything about it. We do seem to do something, but whatever we do is not effective. That's one thing for sure. Everybody need to acknowledge that. That is not effective. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpack today.
Morning, big man. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good.
Mm.
The money that Peter Fundoko saw should generate or mobilize.
Yeah.
Where is that money coming from?
Okay, go on.
Where is that money coming from? Is a question.
Well, you're asking me. I thought maybe it was a rhetoric question. I thought you were.
I'm asking you because you were saying that the state of Windhoek needs some billions of dollars. Where are they going to get that money from?
Yeah, so where do you think they must get it?
Well, I'm asking you, because this should come from you and myself and whoever else. So if it's not coming from there, where will it come from?
Yeah, no, Mori, what I'm asking, I'm just reporting certain things. You know, it's not me really
but
saying things.
But you should also digest and see which avenues, where is this money going to come from?
No, help us, Uncle Buena, help us then. Help us to tell us to say where should this money come from. Come on.
It should come from ours.
Yeah, so.
From yourself. If it's not, it's coming from ours, where is the, how is the mobilization of resources, whether it's the manpower or financial resources to build those houses that are needed. How will it be done? Where will it come from? How can it be mobilized?
Are you happy with the housing, you know, situation in Namibia? And if you are not, why?
I'm not happy because the money that you need to service the land.
Yeah.
Narawanda this morning was talking about how they have found a way to service the land with the Mpandas and that project. You remember that project?
Yeah.
So now I'm asking if there's a bulwark of those houses, where is it going to come from? If the city of Windhoek cannot mobilize for those billions of dollars, from maybe the taxpayer or whoever else going to put money for that, and you cannot service or build those kind of houses, who is going to do that? Is it the government? Is it the municipality? Or who is going to do that so that we can collectively?
Well, do you think maybe we need a different approach? Maybe the approach that we have been using so far, it hasn't worked because it hasn't really addressed the problem. Do you have an idea of maybe that we need to use a different model or anything else?
My model is actually collectively for stakeholders to come together, maybe be together, or the, this, what's it, the standard bank, you know, the standard
bank. So we have a quick commercial coming up quickly, Ned. Just hold on a minute.
This winter, Washambamo is turning your shopping into winning. Spend 200 Namibian dollars or more at any shop in Washambamo, and you could win a 500 Namibian dollars shopping voucher every Friday. The more you shop, the more chances you have to win. Don't miss out. Visit Washambamo in Ondangwa from 3rd to 31st July 2026. Shop, enter your till slip with your name and number into the competition box located in the mall, and stand a chance to win a shopping voucher from Washambamo. Don't miss our lucky winner live draw on Eagle FM every Friday from 1500 hours.
All right.
Let that money come from Washambamo. It must come from Muhango Bwana. So I come from Big Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, where do you expect that money to come from? To mobilize for the housing project and whatever. That's yeah. The only way I can suggest. That's the model.
Yeah.
The stakeholder models. If not, that will work. I don't know where else that money can come from.
Mm.
If the municipality, city of Windhoek, could that one, let's leave that one alone. But what about this other town, Ndanga Town Council, or the Dila Town Council? Can you go to school?
Uncle, please.
Yes, ma?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I'm also in the community trying to mobilize the children to go to school.
Radio, yeah. Yeah. All right.
So,
are you...
where will that fund come from, actually?
Yeah.
It is not going to come from the model that I proposed, the stockholders, shareholders, or whatever. I don't know. I don't have an English word.
All right.
But I can. So where will that money come from?
Yeah.
To build those houses that are lagging.
Yeah.
The gaps. How will you fill that gap?
Yeah, that's the question. That's a million-dollar question. Yeah, so we need to find a way to find that money. Yeah, so
I always listen to the Prime Minister.
Mm.
And the Prime Minister is strategically positioned when it comes to some kind of corrective bargaining, how we can both assist. Because that's the gap of building those houses. Who's going to do it? Is the government? Is the public private sector kind of ventures that will do that?
Yeah.
Who should do that?
Yeah. I think your point, Uncle Bwana, is very clear. All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Oh eight triple three double six zero nine one. Yeah. So yeah, the other thing, so we just maybe to just few questions that we need to ask ourselves is the we're talking about the government want to build about 50,000 houses by 2030. Okay. And that's 4.5 years from now. Are we on track? Have you seen 10,000? Have you seen 10,000 houses gone up this year already? Have you seen 5,000 gone up this year? If the answer is no, then we need to ask why. We need to ask why. Yeah? Is it money? Maybe that's the issue of Uncle Bwana that is talking about. Is it money? Is it land? You know, is it capacity? Is it political will? Or is it just talk? So there's also an understanding that the new oil, gas, and green hydrogen industries are coming. Okay? A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia. Como está?
Obrigado.
Yeah, muito problema.
Ah, muito problema, não vale a pena. Mas estamos bons.
Yeah, na casa, is it na casa problema?
A casa tem muito problema, muito problema. Yeah, I think the house issue, we are declining.
Very much. It's not even declined. We are in a crisis.
You know, if you think about the number you are mentioning there,
yeah,
of a house has been built, just put in mind that those houses are not for the poor.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Now, what about the poor? Yeah. So, the government just cater for the rich? No. You know, there's something need to be done differently.
Yeah.
Because every year, sheikhs are growing.
Yeah, we're talking about 11,000 every year. Eh?
Yes. Why they are growing? Because the system not supporting the poor.
Yeah.
It's very, very slow when it comes to supporting the poor. Now, what I mean the poor? We have people who fail grade 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Are they animals in the media? They are not human beings. They have family to rest, to raise.
Yeah.
But how do you come up now with a system to support those people, those who are behind? That's the problem. Because now, if you build 50 houses and you have people who are graduating, 500 people are graduating, but on those 500 people, maybe 200, if they're lagging on their side, they're gonna get a better job.
Yeah.
Now, when they get a better job, the price of these houses or the selling of these houses, they'll go out. When they go out, I won't even dream to go to the bank to ask for a loan because I don't have a job. So it's just catering for those who are already having.
Yeah.
You know, there is a problem. I was thinking about, you know, the issue of subsidizing the way Angola did with their petrol.
Yeah.
Yeah. That system should also change now. We should learn from them. Even though they are not really up to date with their economy, but we should learn from them. Like, petrol should have the same system. The electricity, same system. The water, same system. If the water costs in a medium, $50, the government should also pay $25.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even on the things as well, on the electricity as well. You know, now you find people in those who are using the system of municipality, they are losing their houses through the water. And water is life. How do you understand that? Which country are we living on?
Mm.
When it comes to the house issue, people need to sit and don't ask those who are living in Simbabwe or whatever. Go to the location, ask them, how do you want and what do you want? Now, when you put laws, do you also go to these people and talk to them to hear their feelings, to say this is what they want, this is what they don't want? Yeah. Or you just go there and put houses which are not even qualified to buy that house? No, we should work as a team. We should communicate. The problem here, there's no communication. You just come up with your policy. You don't know about even how we are living. You come, you put your policy, you put your house, then you put to the newspapers to say, I put 50 houses for who?
Up to date,
we have people who are living in sheikhs for more than 30 years. They are there.
I mean, there are houses that has been built and they haven't been occupied. They are just standing there as ghost houses. because people cannot afford them, that makes
the problem now.
Yeah.
When those houses were built, let me go to the house of Ochomise. When they were built, the some of the names of this location, they were named to go there.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the year, something happened. I won't mention it in the radio. Something happened, and that something which happened there, come in and vandalize everything. Now, the constructor, they were not getting their money on time, the one who was constructing this mass housing, where the problem started. And these guys who are building the house, they said, no, I want to finish the house because I don't get my money. When we look deeper, so number, who following who here? Now, just imagine, after 10 years, maybe I was having a job, which I'm getting, I was maybe 40 years old. Now, if my name is still there, I qualify. Now I'm on pension. Just imagine.
Mm.
How do you make now this guy to still to get this house? No, people are playing with their feelings here, man.
Yeah.
People are playing with their emotion, our feelings, because when you come to house is something, you know, when you have a house, you have a relief. You feel like you are human beings. You feel like, yes. It's the same thing with electricity. In Africa, energy, electricity, network is just in some towns, some cities. But remember, like to say, like, when you're living in the dark, you live like a bird, like a chicken. When it's 4 o'clock, your eyes are closed. You can't see anything. You can't hear anything anymore. Those things should be should come up with ideas which are support our people.
Mm.
The same thing when you think about we are prioritizing the agriculture to be. We find out, okay, this is a big problem we have in the country. Let us close this door to close this money to help the country to grow. Now the same thing come to the houses, not just house. We come here house in the newspaper house, but in the ground, people are still in poverty and suffering.
Yes.
Until when you live like this, a small country, until when? You just think about the poor, the rich. What about the poor?
Yeah.
We are all human beings. Even I can still get 10, get 11. I'm still a human being. So how do you cater for me now? I should just live like...
Yeah, and that's a problem that we have in the country like Namibia and South Africa, the inequalities. Mm-hmm. So the gap grow bigger and bigger, you know? So in many areas, in housing, you know, it's only those who have money can afford, you know, buying housing, and the majority, 70% of the people will not be able to afford. So there's already a gap. In salary, we see the gap. In any other thing, we see the gap,
Then what do you grow? You grow a criminal. Because now, if these guys grow up in the locations, grow up in the dark, think about how this guy gonna copy with his studies. And those who really qualify to go to the university, thanks to God, because these guys are pushing very hard. There's a noise, there's people with this bus, and there is a lot of darkness, and you don't have a proper toilet for you to bus, you must go outside, you know? It's totally rough, my brother, very rough. This issue of the house, people should just sit and see how you can really, really minimize this kind of problem. And how do you, if you're a Namibian, how do you feel when you wake up around 1 o'clock in the midnight, you look in the window?
Yeah.
How do you call yourself? You call yourself, okay, I'm a Namibian. How can I fix my country to look better? Not coming here and abusing us with number, and people still in poverty in the shacks.
Yeah.
And I was happy with the president, that system they brought, they built in Namibia, the house of which are also... working in Cape Town. Those are, how do you call it? Those brick or whatever?
Yeah,
there's a name of that, those houses, cheaper houses.
Yeah.
Do something like that, you know?
There was a pilot that was done, which is actually a house costing about 50,000, you know?
Yeah.
And then it just disappeared in the thin air. We don't hear anything anymore. We don't know whether it has been scaled up or is it, you know, there are documents being prepared so that that can be scaled up. There's nothing. It's just gone in thin air. Yeah.
Now you come up, you tell us you don't have money. My brother, when Corona, when struck by Corona, everybody was living at home. There's nobody was moving around. But we managed to live, and the government created a system to give people money. So we have enough money.
Yeah.
Now you don't come up and tell us we don't have money. We have money unless you don't know how to manage that money.
Yeah.
People are. I feel bad when I go to location. People are really. You look at them like this. You don't see even a figure on this person. This guy just no more focusing in school. Just in noise, and there's a lot of buzz. When you go to use the toilet, you must go in queue for a toilet, And you, even somebody you have, sometimes you have like a guest, you feel even shy to take him to that queue like he's going to buy a bread. Until when we're going to live in this kind of situation? Until when? We call ourselves independent like that? No. No, we need really to think about the house problem, house issues. Yeah. The house issue, the price of electricity, we should have a subsidized, like the way the Angolan government did to their petrol. We should have that system in the water and electricity, just for us to feel we are living in the country with leaders who care about the country.
Mm.
Yes.
All right, man.
Thank you, my brother.
Well, thanks for coming through.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. I'm your host, a Big Mike. So our time is 10 o'clock, the final hour. This is the final hour. So yeah, we're still focusing on this. There are a few things that we're still, looking at. Just broaden up your thinking at least. This is something that we need to think seriously. There was an issue of the pension fund idea. The GIPF has, the other thing is about, I wanted to talk about the oil and gas, and hydrogen project or industry that are coming, So what that will do, that they are going to bring money. If they are bringing money, they are also going to bring jobs. So, but they are also going to bring more people to towns. Eh? And our towns are not prepared. They are not prepared. Eh? Are we planning for that? Are we building houses before the workers arrive? Because they are coming. If this is going to be a boom, So are we going to wait until we have another 50,000 shacks? Eh? And then panic and call it an emergency? Something we need to think about. I don't know. We're not thinking. Eh? Or what is that? Or maybe it's money that we, it's a capacity. What is it? Eh? Then the pension fund ideas. Just before I end this section. So the GIP has talked about social housing investment before. They did. Eh? It has not really happened at scale. Eh? It hasn't happened at scale. Why not? Eh? Why? Is it risk? Is this something risk? Is it regulations? Maybe are the regulations that, or is it a lack of political support? I always said. So what is it? Because if our pension money can build the houses for Namibian and still pay our pensions, then what is exactly stopping us? Eh? Those are in the know-how. Please do come. Tell us what is stopping us. Eh? And I think this one is for the listeners, for you now, the one you are listening, in the location, those who are in the location, in the informal settlement. Eh? The one you are now, you, the one in the informal settlement. When you built a shack, And you may find this question very stupid. Not stupid, but, unbecoming, if you like. What do you actually want? Yeah? What is that you want? Do you want a former house with a bond? Or do you want a service plot where you can build your own structure? What do you want? Do you want a rental housing? Now, the reason I'm asking is because sometimes in Windhoek, in our air-conditioned policy room, we make assumptions. Someone make that an assumption. Just a caller makes it that we make assumption about what the people want without actually asking them. Do we really know what people want? Okay. Now, let me just wrap this up so that maybe we can move to something else. The story of 11,000 new shacks a year, I think it's not just a housing story, all right? It's not just a housing story. It's a story about inequality in this country. It's a story about a country that is growing, but growing apart. The country is growing, but it's growing apart, okay? The people at the top are getting shiny new houses in suburbs.
the people at the bottom are getting zinc and plastic and corrugated iron. And in the middle, well, the middle is disappearing. You know? So now, this is not a problem that we will that solve itself. It's not a problem that solve itself, definitely. This is not a problem that the market will fix. The market will not fix this. The market has had this 35 years of independence to fix it. And it has not. It hasn't. 35 years. So, and this is not a problem that a government can solve alone. And the government have admitted to that. And the economists are clear about that as well. This is not something the government can fix alone, or can solve alone. It need all of us in some way. Okay? It need the private sector, you know, to build affordable housing, not just luxury housing, you know? It needs government to release land faster, you know? So it need the bank to lend to lower income families. It needs the pension fund to invest in social housing. It needs training as well. Training institution to produce more artisans. So it needs you, a listener, to demand answers. It needs really you to demand answers. Demand answers from your councillors, from your mayors, from your MPs, from your ministers. Because at the end of the day, a country that cannot house its people is a country that is failing its people. I think it's something the founding father, the founding president, have mentioned at one point. I'm not putting it right in what he said, but he mentioned something in that way. A country that cannot house itself or house its people. He also mentioned in terms of food, and Naluvanda was talking about that as well, you know, before me. A country that cannot house its people, it's a country that is actually failing its people. And Namibia, beautiful Namibia, a rich Namibia, land of the brave, we deserve better than 11,000 new sacks every year. That's what we deserve. All right, I will stop it there for now. And you're most welcome to come through. We still have about an hour to go or so on that as well. So, and any other issues that has been covered, this is the time where now I give you and all that open, you know. So maybe Tata Naluvanda, there was an interview earlier, you know, and there are issues that you maybe you were listening, you couldn't be able to attend to or to, you know, to react to. You're most welcome to bring it up here as well. And talk about it, and also the issues that we have covered so far. But we continue. We don't stop here. Now, you remember there was, how would I put this? Okay. Where am I? All right. Okay, good. You know, what are we going to look at? I think this is a story that goes right to the heart of something you probably have complained about at some point. You know, corruption. You know? And why the people people who are supposed to stop it keep, you know, telling us their hands are tied. Now, their hands are tied. System that we're talking about. Now, the outgoing boss of the Anti-Corruption Commission had an interview on the agenda, I think last week, the ACC, the man who has been there, who have been running that office for nearly 20 years, he has basically told the nation, on his way out of the door that our anti-corruption system has a big hole in it. So he said it has a big hole in it, a loophole, you know. And through that loophole, senior government officials and what we call accounting officers, those are the top bosses in the ministries and parastatals who are supposed to sign off on how public money is spent, those people can receive a report from the ACC saying, hey, you know, something dodgy happening in your office. Please take action. And they can literally throw that report in the drawer, forget about it, go for lunch, and nothing happened to them. Nothing. Okay, let's go to the caller quickly. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, good morning. Am I abusing the power?
No. So,
okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm back because of the you mentioning about the artisan and engineers.
Yeah.
Those one who have the mean of. Because under the what? The ECN.
Yeah.
For the engineers, they are more than enough. The one that is registered in the system.
Mm.
And the site is about
more than enough that they don't even have jobs.
Yeah. Some they are just getting part time, and they have also independent contractor supervision. That is also many of them. We know where they are. And the foreman and the clerk of the workers, they are also there, which are under the station home. All of them, and even the artisan that is now coming from VTC and all of that.
Yeah. Now, so, this would be beside the housing now that we're looking at. And I think maybe I mentioned that in terms of, because I was talking about oil and gas and hydrogen and the hydrogenic industry. So since we don't have this industry, and these are new industries that are coming up, do our people, whoever, you know, engineers and, you know, and any other electricians, are they really competent in what is coming, or they would need some further, you know, training? I think I spoke in that way. Yeah.
Okay. No, that one I understand. Yeah, I think I mentioned it, I think, 3-4 times now when it comes to those type of career, this project on the look of things, what is happening around the world is that most of these companies that are venturing in oil and gas, they have high qualification, like some guys from India. So I think India is really good. It's registered these people, and most of these people, they have job attachment in India, which is on the refineries and other side of the where they are drilled by those companies who are connected with the refiner of India. So in Namibia now, that is where we are failing, as I said, on the housing, is that if you look at in the upstream petroleum unit, they are just focusing on regulation. Which most of people, they don't, I don't know whether they're really understanding who are converted the investment to become wealthy or to become profitable is because of those engineers, which we don't have in the country. So, that is they needing to be trained, especially in some of companies like in Angola. Because if you go to Angola now, you're finding some lot of boys in that way schooling here. They are now having a good person in Angola, which we needing also maybe to come up with this job attachment or whatever training that they can get, for us in 5-6 years to come. But unfortunately, Chinese and the other companies, they don't do that outside China.
Yeah.
They don't train new people just like that. And that is what in Namibians, they don't understand that. The Chinese, they don't train new people. if they saw that you don't have. And that is what it was happening in South Africa. If you look at the electricity plant that they wanted into constructing with the Indian companies, they killed some of the project because of the BEE that they are selling to producing engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And BEE refused petitions government not to give 100% full capacity of Indian company to running that project.
Yeah.
And the Indians also disagree to partner up with somebody who had not contributed in any engineers, so because they were wanting 50 engineers from South Africa. And BEE failed. Because remember, some of the African companies, most of the white engineers, they are not working in South Africa.
Yeah.
They are working all over Africa with a different project that is running in the world. So those are now the problems that BEE failing the South African electricity plant to be done in South Africa because of the BEE, which are also now, if you look at our policy, that is people are discussing each and every day, is that how are we going to including our workers, our Namibian artisans, to be on this project.
Mm.
Training is most important that is needed. And if you look at what is happening to Nigeria, that was the same thing. Nigeria is sending about 5,000 to 6,000 outside before the project starts. And they come to be supervised by the Indians, which is now right for them to get good salary.
Mm.
But if you look at also now the projects that are coming from East Africa, that are also going to run by Arika Dangote with 17 billion, so it's the same thing. People are starting to be already, Uganda, Kenya, and the other countries, they're already starting preparing their engineers.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that to my side to say, I'm not really focusing on those oil and gas because of my project that I'm now fighting with those bureaucrats and all of that. To say the engineers we have full capacity of the constructions. Yeah, but unfortunately, most of the projects public projects that are running in this country, they are running by Chinese, which they come with their own engineers, site foremen, and supervision. So the independent valuation from FNB, they don't really getting a job to evaluate to those breeding, unless the owner of the breeding is hire them. But on the construction side, they don't come because they are already taken over by the Chinese. So those are the problems that we have. To answer that Buana's question, when do we have a bedlock of about 74,000 houses to 86,000 that they are need? And they need $1
billion. $1 billion,
A year.
Yeah.
So, but for them now, if you look at the percentage in the 46.3% that living in informal, to formalizing that now, the informal are not contributed enough. They are contributed only 53 million, which is more money for them. 53, that is left with about 94.something%, because they need about $1 billion.
Yeah.
So it's a dead dream for Windhoek to formalize them.
But you also look at the rate, 6.1 growth rate of informal settlement to 3.1 of the growth of the town, so that it's outpaced.
It's not a discussing issue either.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the 60,000 that they are contributing to the city of Windhoek, the settlement rate,
that's
a small number.
It's a small number.
Out of the 486 residents that we are talking about.
Yeah.
So those are the issue that it's the same thing that people are talking about NDP-6. We don't talk about NDP-6 like with me. Maybe we talk about it with other people.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the budget that is get by MURD to give to the local authority, it is already just afforded to breeding 1,800, and it was confirmed by MURD people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the issue that I have is it's actually even with the NDP 6 is like when we have a target of 50,000 houses to 2020, and you that means 10,000 every year, and you look at how much have we built, it's not even up to 2,000, you know.
No, Mike, you don't go to that number. You go like this. You go to Memeshafuda, and Memeshafuda telling you that I give MURD money to deliver 10,000 houses. And the question say, and MURD answer you that, Memeshafuda just giving us the money for 1,800 houses.
Yeah.
Where are we going to get the money? So that is already a dead discussion, because you cannot discussing while we don't have money in hand.
Yeah, it's even the whole issue of land servicing when it comes to municipality. If they don't get the budget, how do they service the land?
And you see what is now they are talking about, even to maintaining the road. That is the same thing.
Yeah.
They don't have money.
Yeah, no, they don't.
And the demand is everywhere. Yeah. Every day somebody needing something proper.
Yeah.
But the money that they are contributed is to pay NAM water and NAM power.
Yeah.
So that is another services which you don't have. So those are the issues that I'm saying. Namibians, when it comes to law, is broken.
Yeah.
So they need to start, especially now. If the parents, I don't know about NASA, what they are doing.
Yeah.
About the graduate of politics and the others to go to job attachment. I don't know whether they are really serious into discussing with Total and the others who are having some wells outside the country to go training this type of people.
Yeah.
So that when this based on orange based on starting, they can get a good salary. But if this is a dead dream I'm talking about, to say we need to be a part of the oil and gas exploration, it will not work. It will not work.
I think one of the concerning thing is that when you look at the whole issues of housing, for example, the whole housing crisis is that if it was like, okay, our backlog was about 80,000, you know, units, and we are very slow in meeting the needs of the people. We are, but we are very slow. You know, one can understand that the trajectory is completely different. You know, we are the opposite.
You know where the problem is.
Yeah.
MURD and local authority, they mess up. Because they don't know who is in need of land.
Yeah.
That was the mistake that happened in the 90s. And when it came to 2007, where they realized that, wow, the population has grown more than what we have in hand.
Yeah.
It's already, they're already allowing those land speculators to be a part of them. And that is some of those guys, and they have unoccupied land in their hands, to call it cooperative inventory. It's their product now. In the local authority, the land. Mm. You understand? So if you go in some town, you find, I think like in Ochoarongo, you're finding some services land which is not yet occupied. Because you know who is the owner of that one.
Yeah.
Property developers.
Mm.
They are already registered in that area to their cooperative inventory with the deed office. So how are you going to getting that land back? You have to pay them the money that they want. And the government, if they're spending money to buy back the land that they sold for cheaper and now is high, it's a tough game.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's not easy for them to discuss with people that they understand.
Yeah.
They can just say, don't come to my office. I'm busy. Look at my table. Yeah, then and they are done on that. But this house story, as I say, it's not about local authority. It's not a politics issue. No, it's about the law.
Yeah.
People are following the law that is wrong. Yeah. And Kenya is doing better. More than Kenya is a slum city. There is a slum location, even in South Africa, which is Kayozo and
Kenya is
the younger of this world.
Yeah, and they have those ones. And Pakistan, if you look at Pakistan, it's about 2.4 million people that are living in slum in those locations because of what? Land that they are not well informed.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things that we have in it come also in Windhoek, because if you look at if we're reaching the 50% of the informal settlement, we are at the slum city.
Exactly.
And that is we are now 46.3%.
Yeah.
How many? 3.7 left.
Mm.
So that is what they are not allowed. And there is another issue that is causing the problem here, energy.
Yeah.
Energy is the one that is doing, because if you look at Seven Deland, for example, it were not supposed to be a slum or a shark area.
Yeah.
Because it's a services led. Yeah. Let us see, maybe that is side, I don't know about those one, Korea have what deep in the mountain there. Yes, that one can be a shark because it's not your services.
Mm.
But they located land, which I'm not agree with in Sangwasa, to locate land for free. Sell people's land, let them bridge, let them aligning with the local authority.
Yeah.
Yeah, local authority or municipality. Because municipality is dictating this. If you get, you register a land on your name.
You actually create another problem.
Yeah, they create already.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, they create already in the seventh land.
Because
if you go to the Elven, the Regis Elven mine, you're finding five sharks in that one.
Mm.
In the GPRS, how does it show you? If you're taking the GPRS coordinate, you see those 100 sharks.
Yeah.
In the Regis land that was a services. So those are the problem I'm having with NHG, to say they cannot do campaigning politics on that lives, on people's lives. No, that's another problem we have.
Yeah.
So, Mike, that's what I wanted to bring up because of the artisan and
yeah,
we have a lot. But
right.
Unfortunately, if we are just giving projects to Chinese, we will not see the experience of these boys.
All right.
So, thank you.
Thanks for coming through.
Mm. You're welcome.
26 minutes past the hour of 10. Well, time flies when you're really, really, really having fun. And they said, when you have fun, time flies. All right. We're looking at our outgoing. Okay. I'm not getting even a time to get to that. So maybe I need to lock the line at the moment. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Dr. Mike.
Yes.
Now, should we stop giving birth? Because the sheikhs are growing. You know, there's a country, I won't mention a country, like they even now they come up with that policy, say, no, don't give birth anymore because of the population is growing. Okay, fine. Now they regret it. Now if you are dead in that country, a woman who is pregnant is being paid for to encourage those also to give birth, because they realize from here to 100 years, there will be no more that race. Or that those people. Now, yeah. Think about our issue here now. Sheikhs are growing. Yes, good. People are growing.
Mm.
So now, what can we do? And the other thing that especially when it comes to the water and electricity, should go to work, should go and work. Those things are, people, you know, just imagine now, I'm not on the house. Maybe I'm working as a tailor in the shop. Now, this house, you know, this past month, maybe 1.5 is the cheap house, or maybe 2010. But now, the electricity and the water is the other problem. So, the government should also think about subsidizing of this water, electricity, just the way they did the last two months of the foil.
Mm.
It should go to it to support the people. If they do so, even though you don't have a better job, you feel good because you know I have government on my shoulder to help me to pay my electricity and water. If I'm paying 50, I know the other 50 the government paid already. You feel very proud for yourself.
Yeah.
But now, how do you now
put your these people to be part of the economy of the country. If you don't service the land, don't give them those houses. So if you service the land and give them a plot or like electricity and water, automatically I'm already a part of the economy of my country because I'm already paying the water and electricity as well. You know? Now, when they get money from IMF, they ask you, this money is for production or for consumption? No, production. Now, when they come here, they see the shack, they see, what these people are talking about? They want to minimize the poverty in the country, but look how people are living here. You know? Yeah. We have, I think 2 months ago, I saw in the newspaper, like, you know, this dollar we're paying for these plastic bags.
Yeah.
How much we have now? 2 million? How much? I was hearing nothing. Yeah? 2 million now. You know, they can tell me don't have money. If $1 by 2 years, we have already 2 million. What about if you put some $20 there for 2 years? How much you going to have? You will have enough money just to save the land. Give people, minimizing houses and electricity and water. Now you don't, you know, if you just build the last caller I mentioned about energy, that company.
Mm.
But this company, if you build a house, forget about to go there, you don't have a better job. So now, this company is catering for who? And for how long we're going to just be going like that? I guess we want something. We saw locations, lighting. Yes, that's what we want. You see, this location was after 2 years was dark. Now there's light. There's houses. People are happy. Yes, that's what we want. Just house, but we don't see any movement going on.
All right, man.
Thank you, my brother.
Great. All right. 31 minutes past the hour of 10. This last hour, we were looking at something that I wanted to look at. It has to do with corruptions, and it has to do with what the was actually speaking to the agenda, and he mentioned a few things that are very, very, very important, you know, that I wanted us actually to go through. Let me see if we could have someone. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today. Good morning. Good morning. We can't hear you, ne? Your voice is too low if you are speaking.
Good morning.
I definitely can't hear you, my friend. Just call back again. What he was saying is that he was saying that he basically told the nation that, you know, and then he said this one, now he's going out, that the anti-corruption system has a big hole in it. Okay. So a loophole. Now, and through that loophole, senior government officials and also accounting officers, and these are the top bosses in the ministries and parastatals, who supposed to, you know, sign off on how our public money is spent, you know, those people can, as he said, they can receive actually a report from the ACC saying, hey, my friend, hey, something dodgy happening in your office, you know, some kind of finding or finding now, please take actions. So, and they can literally, actually what he says is that they can literally throw the report into, in the drawer and forget about it.
and completely forget about it, and nothing happens to them. Nothing. Now, think of it this way, okay? You and me, if we don't pay a TV license, if we skip a traffic fine, for example, you know, there are consequences. But a senior official who ignores a former finding from the country top anti-corruption body? Nothing? So, nothing, no fine, no charge, no disciplinary hearing, nothing. Now, and remember, this is coming from a man who built the ACC from a scratch, you know, from scratch back in 2005. So this is not some outsider throwing stones. You know, this is an architect of the house telling us, guys, the roof is leaking. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike. Sorry to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, I just want to also to add something there. When you guys were talking about the arts and the engineers.
Yeah, just quick one, then, because I want to also touch on something quickly. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mm. You know, Mike, man, the thing is that we are not very lacking any skill at all in that department.
Yeah.
Later than maybe you can say now, the job, availability of the job is the one which is very special. Like, when it comes to capital projects, that's why we see mostly are taken by the Chinese. Mm. And now, we have even individually where our neighbor brothers like Jim from the guy from Zimbabwe, to name it. We are competing in when it comes to this lot, like Maggie, I want to build a house. Now Maggie is compelling the price. When it's do comparison, some of these our brother from foreign, I mean our neighbor countries, they are cheap comparing to us.
Yeah.
And that's why where now we are kind of like not getting anything at all.
Mm.
That's why you see in Namibia, you can find an artisan who cannot even do job attachment because there's no space at all. And it's highly, really, if you look.
But that's the question I'm asking is to say, we could have artisan by qualification. We have a number of them by a record. But are they competent enough?
Yeah, that's
because,
the thing.
Because the opportunities are not there.
Yes, limited, really. Mm. There's no space at all. And the fact is that when you look at even like now we are talking about oil and green hydrogen, we are not really even see a tangible when it comes to this training taking place in Namibia.
Yeah.
All even abroad, where you can say maybe you are sending those artisans who are already qualified to go and gain more skill, even abroad or wherever.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that. That's why I'm saying now, when you look, and the people are talking about, yes, green hydrogen is going to contribute a lot, and then you look, what kind of job are we going to do? Only to be a security guard or this labor, low labor, which are paying less money. What I'm talking about, even like, you know, we are already supposed to start even if we windmill.
Yeah.
People to be trained in that department. Because now, if you look, what is a green hydrogen about? It's about windmill and other things which are included. But we are not doing anything. When it comes to go to our VTCs, then you see most across the country, we are doing the way we used to do. Just try the way we used to do, only like for you not to come up with anything.
Mm.
Yeah, unless you are broken, the thing which is broken and you put it together. Which is wrong. I think we need to change that method which we do things. We're supposed to start manufacturing our own stuff in Namibia. Instead of maybe the windmill come from Germany, then now as a Namibian engineer, you are just going to put the parts together. So it's supposed to be that way.
Mm.
Supposed to be full functional from here.
Exactly.
Maybe they're from there.
Those are the manufacturing that we need and factories that we need here. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm looking at the disagreement between our president and the Chinese.
Yeah.
That is the way we are seeing we need to go that area. where we learn from the
best. Sometimes we have all this agreement nicely stipulated on the papers, but you wait and wait and you don't see anything.
Wait, nothing is coming. Yeah.
So on papers, there are a lot of things that you are excited about. Eh?
Exactly.
But years are going and you kind of think, why there was that deal, there was the other deal, and why I'm still living in poverty.
That is our point, my friend. Maybe it will be different this time. We never know.
So that's why I said I have become skeptical, not on my own wish, just because
I have
gone through that. I have watched that movie for quite a long time now. You know, I know almost the conclusion. You know?
Yeah, I wish it. Yeah. Anyway, let us give other people a chance.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah. In this segment, now we're looking at the, you know, I was talking about our the outgoing director, the ACC director, talking about things that need to change, and especially counting officers and senior government officials who are normally ignoring some of the recommendation that are normally coming from report that are coming from ACC, sometimes report that are coming from ACC saying, for example, hey, pay attention, there's something going on to your company, into your office, there's something going into your office, please take actions. And what happened, they completely ignored those and there's nothing happened to them, all right? Nothing happened to them. So what he's saying now, he said, let it make it a crime. Make it a crime, a criminal offense for a senior officer, for a senior official to ignore an ACC recommendations. Now, so in other words, if the ACC investigate your ministry, find that something went wrong and tells you a discipline and tell you to discipline this person or recover this money, and you sit on your hands, then you, the boss, should also face charges. Yeah? So not just the wrongdoer, but the one who looked the other way. Because you look at the other way, nothing happened. So you understand. So that's what he's pointing out. He points out that other countries have done this, and it makes the whole system bite. Yeah? So it makes the whole system bite, because right now, my dear listeners, corruption in Namibia is a two-person crime. Okay, two-person crime. There is one who steal, you know, there's one who steal, and there's one who sees the report and pretend they didn't see it. Eh? So, and only one of them can actually get in trouble. So the other one pretend that he hasn't seen it, he might not get even in trouble. Or guess which one get in trouble? Sometimes neither one actually get in trouble. Okay? So now the ACC talks about a misconduct that falls short of criminal corruption. So now we're talking about that, you know, there are some misconduct that fall short of criminal corruption. What does that actually mean in layman language? What he's saying is, what it means is that sometimes a civil servant does something wrong, but it's not quite theft. It's not really quite theft. It is not quite bribery. It hasn't fallen in that kind of category. Maybe they gave a tender to their cousin. Yeah? It could be that they give a tender to their cousin, or maybe they approved something they shouldn't have, those kind of stuff. Maybe they use a government vehicle for private business. You know, it's a misconduct. Yeah? So it's not going to land you in a higher court, but it's still wrong. You understand? So, and there should be some kind of internal discipline. So a warning or a suspension or a demotion or firing, something like that. So that's what internal discipline process means. Okay. So it just means your boss must deal with you at work. All right. Now, an accounting officer in every ministry, in even state-owned company like NamPower, TransNamib, Air Namibia,
when it existed, sorry, you know, when it existed, there's one top person who signed the check and answered to Parliament, you know, for how the money was used. That is your accounting officer. So now, when the ACC write to them and they don't respond, that is the loophole that he's talking about. That's the loophole the outgoing boss of Anti-Corruption Commission is talking about. So now, the outgoing ACC boss also dropped a bombshell about the SME bank, all right? He also talked about that. And remember the SME bank scandal? You know, hundreds of millions of dollars, public money, taxpayers' money, you know, money that was supposed to help small business, small Namibian business to grow. It's vanished. It just vanished, gone, shipped out of the country through what we call money laundering. It just poof, okay? No trace. So the ACC boss is now telling us that we didn't, he said that they didn't investigate that. They didn't investigate the SMB bank because at the time, the law didn't allow them to. So he said the law didn't allow us to. So the ACC could only chase money laundering if it was attached to another corruption case. Standalone money laundering, out of their hands. You know, out of their hands. It was only at the end of 2023 that Parliament actually fixed that. Only at the end of 2023 that the Parliament actually fixed that. So ask yourself, Namibia, how many SME bank type cases, we're talking about bank type cases, like the SME one, you know, actually slipped through the crack. Slipped through the crack between 2006 and 2023 before the actually Parliament fixed that. Because the law was written with a hole in it. It was written with a hole in it. How much of the money is sitting in someone's account in Johannesburg now because of those, in Dubai, in wherever? Because the very body we created to catch these people was told, hey, sorry, not your job. That's not your job. That's not your job. And that's the question I want you to sit, you know, with today. That's the issue that I want you to sit with today. Now, let's look at different perspective on the table, okay? Because we might somehow let's put it on different perspective. Now, for maybe the ACC side. So, from the ACC, they're saying, give us more teeth, give us more power, give us more staff, and hold the enablers accountable. So, because there are enablers, hold the enablers accountable, not just the thieves, the enablers as well. And that sounds reasonable. It sounds reasonable. In fact, it sounds overdue. So the enablers should also hold accountable. Yeah, but I can also think from the accounting officers and civil servant bosses. I can also think if I were one also, you also have to think from them that they might push back and say, you know, they might push back and say, look, hang on here. We can't be criminalized for every decision we make, you know? We cannot just be criminalized for every decision we make. What if we disagree with the ACC finding? You know, that's something that you need to think of. What if the recommendation is unclear? So what if we are waiting for legal advice? Those are things that you need to think about. So making it a crime to ignore a recommendation could create a fear-based governance if you want, you know? It's more like, you know, where every manager now is running to a lawyer before making a decision. So I think that's fair. It's a fair concern, you know, from accounting officers or from civil service bosses. I think that's a fair concern, and we must hear that it too. You must We must hear it out. We must hear it out as well. Yeah. So, and from us as citizen, for us, what we not, you and me, we are saying brothers, brothers and sisters, okay? We have been here. We have been hearing about corruption for years. Yeah? For us, we have been hearing corruption for Fish Road, SME Bank, GIPF, mass housing scandals, the Social Security Commissions, one after the other. We have been hearing that. So the report come out, the commission of inquiry set, you know, and the recommendation are made, and then what happened? Silence. And then the same people show up in a new position 6 months later. The very same person that has been involved in this show up somewhere in a new position somewhere, you know, in 6 months or a year later. So excuse us if we are not moved by more talk anymore. We want to see something actually pay. Yeah? We want to see something pay. Someone pay. So, and well, if you look at from maybe let's say from a political angle, let's not pretend it doesn't exist. So anti-corruption in Namibia has always had this uncomfortable relations with politics. Yeah? There's always that uncomfortable relation. I would say uncomfortable relation with politics. And the ACC report, the ACC report to the president. Its budget come from Treasury. Its investigator can be poached by other agencies. And now, the very man who ran it for 20 years is walking out and telling us the law needs fixing. Well, you can also ask now, why now, after 20 years? Why now? Why not 5 years ago? Why not 10 years ago? Is this a genuine final warning? Or is the legacy statement? Eh? Is this a legacy statement? The kind of thing you say on your way out to protect your reputation? Eh? So it could be a legacy. Well, I'm not accusing anyone. I'm not accusing anybody. It's just asking the question we should be asking. And those are questions we should be asking. So this is a critical program. We critique and analyze, all right? Now, the other thing he also said was that the ACC is bleeding experienced investigators. You know, they train them up, spend years and tax money teaching them how to follow the paper trail or complex corruption cases. And then those investigators get poached by banks. The banks comes, poach them up, private companies, you know, and by other ministries offering better salaries. And the ACC is left standing over with fresh faces. They have to start all over again. Now, here's the question for the government, for me. Now, if we are serious about fighting corruption, why? Why are we not paying our anti-corruption investigators? Maybe just like they pay them at the Bank of Namibia, wherever they pay them. Eh? Why? A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Sorry for coming back. I think I can just have a 40-second minute or so.
I'm counting.
Yeah. So it's good that you brought the issue of ACC.
Yeah.
Anti-Corruption Commission.
Mm.
And I'm very grateful for what the Mr. Noah has done.
Yeah.
He has done a great job. He has been a challenge. And it's also good that he proposed for the accountability and reform in terms of administrative law. Because many a times we have heard many people who have corruptly or unethically conducted themselves to enrich themselves through administrative rope house. Yeah, where they could take advantage.
Yeah.
When they manipulate the system that was supposed to serve the administrative justice. But they, you know, they just manipulated it.
Hmm.
And they also infiltrated into the criminal justice system. And everything become corrupt.
Yeah.
Because we are no longer accountable to ourselves. We want the political leadership to be accountable. But the administrative roles.
Hmm.
Are being manipulated. So, and we have been saying to Mr. Noah that yes, the people who have corruptedly or conducted themselves unlawful to enrich themselves, whether through tender or whatever kind of process, should be held accountable. Mr. Noah has always been referring to those administrative issues to the ministerial institutional level, which we say is not good.
Yeah.
That's why people go free. They used to resign. After you have misconducted yourself there, then you resign.
Yeah.
You go free. So even though the law says yes, you actually should be charged, not necessarily only because of the corporate body.
Mm.
No, you can also be charged on your individual capacity, on the individual level.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much. You have done a good job.
Yeah.
And the proposal that somebody is going there, I look at the profile.
Yeah.
We want some kind of integrity.
Exactly.
So thank you very much, my God bless.
Thank you. Yeah, so, yeah, we still have about 4 minutes. Let me just, you know, round up a few things on this one. So, yeah, when it comes now to investigators, why are we losing our best crime fighters? Because the salary at Standard Bank or wherever is twice what they get at ACC. So, That's a policy choice. Eh? That's a policy choice. That's a budget choice. Eh? And it tells us something about how serious we are, how serious really we are in terms of that. So pay them. Eh? Now, so we almost in the second half of 2026, and we are a country of just under 3 million people. We are not South Africa with 60 million citizens or so. We are small. I think we are small enough. So we are small enough, you know, we are small enough that everybody knows everybody. Well, literally. Which means the excuses for not catching the wrongdoers, it should be a really worrying thing. That should be a worrying thing. If the ACC own founding director general is telling us on his way out that the law is broken, that the staff is too small, that officials are ignoring findings, that money laundering cases slip through the cracks, then this is not, this is not some kind of a whisper anymore. This is a shout. Yeah? This is someone shouting. Hmm? And the question for the parliament, for the new ACC leadership, you know, for the president, is very simple. Are we going to close those loopholes? Or are we going to write another beautiful report that end up in another drawer? Are we going to close those loopholes? So, I think a few things to consider as we're thinking now. I want you to think. Discuss this with your friends. Discuss this with your family. Discuss with your colleague. Discuss it, you know. Now, so, one question is, should ignoring ACC recommendation be a crime? as the former director is actually saying. Should it be a crime? Yes or no? And why? I don't want you to come through now because it's the end of the time. So should it become a crime? So the other thing is also, do you, you know, when it comes to now rebuilding, you know, the whole system, do you trust the ACC to do its job if we give it more power? You know, if you give it more teeth, do you trust that it will do its job? Or do you think the whole system need actually to be rebuilt from scratch? Maybe that, no, we need actually this to be done from scratch. So what do you think? Maybe the other thing is also, this is just testing your, if this is a reality in our society, name one corruption case where you personally believe justice was not served in this country. And tell us what should happen. What should happen? So we can always talk about that, you know, tomorrow. And yeah. All right. So yeah, that's bring us to the end of our unpacking this morning. Let's make an appointment again for tomorrow. Our time is about 11 o'clock. It's a Monday morning. Let's do that tomorrow again. At the same time here on your favorite station, your number one talk radio station in the land. And I'm Mike, signing off, leaving you into the hands of Abigail, my colleague from Windhoek. So for me, Mike Achavelli, it's a goodbye. Until tomorrow.